time I believe this. I don't even know what I'm hearing. What song is this, Ben?
No.
What is this?
Duran Duran. It's the
Reflex. Duran Duran?
The Reflex.
It's the Reflex. At Lee, have you heard that song before?
No.
Okay.
All right. Oh my God. Are you guys.
Wait, let it play for another song. Maybe it was the chorus. Know. Maybe I said no.
It's
the lead
Duran.
Up. I understand that. Now I feel silly.
Okay, play it again.
Just. Okay, that part, it's like the leading up part. Not to bruise it? Try not to bruise it?
I'm bad with words.
Did he say try not to bruise it?
Try not to lose it.
Try not to lose it.
No, the second time he says lose it. I think he said bruise it. Andrew's like, you're making it.
It's all right, just make it up. Sounds good either way.
Lee,
80s music makes people happy.
80s music does make people happy. Like, I agree with you on that.
So. If this was Huey Lewis in the news, I would know it.
Oh, you would?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you particularly a fan of Huey Lewis?
It started with Back to the Future series.
Sure.
That was my first concert ever.
Really?
Huey Lewis. It was either Huey Lewis or Eurythmics. I always forget, but one of those was my first concert.
Both of those are good concerts.
Yeah.
It's pretty solid.
That's a good way to start.
Yeah.
Mine was Phil Collins.
Really?
Yeah. Wasn't the United Center when I was a kid? I can't remember the name of that. Not the United Center. What's the one out in the Allstate? Allstate Arena now?
Oh, yeah. It used to be the Rosemont Horizon.
The Rosemont Horizon.
Remember? Yeah.
Hi, Lee.
My first concert was Poplar Creek.
We're old.
What was your first concert?
We're saying.
My first concert was George Clinton and P-Funkadelics.
Where?
It's in Cleveland, Ohio. Oh. And I mean, it was like maybe 9 or 10. And my mom was like, we're going to go. And I was like, no, trick-or-treating, because it was on the Halloween. So I missed out on trick-or-treating.
So is it a mixed emotion then you have about your first concert, having to miss Halloween?
I was pouting the entire time. Now, I was like maybe, I had this voice and I was maybe like 5'10 at the time.
Uh-huh.
So imagine like a chubby kid my size, like, this stinks. Yeah. Candy first.
Yeah.
I actually just saw a family arguing on the metro the other day, and about there was a kid. He was probably around 12 or 13. I took a picture of the family because he was like, this is B. He was like swearing at his mom and dad. He was saying that it was BS.
Oh my God.
And they were going to a concert. He's like, I don't even like his music. I don't know why you're making me do this. You're using my birthday as an excuse to do something you want. But he was like going on, and it was so loud on the train. I was looking around, I'm like, and then, anybody else?
God, if I talked to my parents that way, or if I swore, we would get off the train and I'd be home and with soap in my mouth.
Yeah, he had his headphones and his Kindle on, and his little brother the same way. I don't have any of their faces in the photo, but I didn't know what I was going to. I just needed to take a picture of them just to remind me of this family and what other. Well, I never say anything to other families. Obviously, I wouldn't comment on him swearing at them. I mean, do you ever comment on someone who's swearing at their kids?
Nope, I just kind of look the other way.
I actually, one time, a woman, I saw her. She was a very large woman, and she was dragging this little kid. The kid had done something, and she hauled off and smacked the kid. And I've never said anything, and I know, I've never said anything, but I went over to her and I said, really? And the kid's crying. I said, that was a fair fight.
Wow.
That's all I said.
Did she say anything?
She said, and I was younger at the time when I said it. This was maybe, 20 years ago. And she said, one day you'll have kids and you'll understand.
Mm.
I thought, yeah, and no matter what happens, it doesn't. And this was at a shopping mall.
I have two kids and I've never felt the urge to hit either one.
I mean, this was a smack. This would have been like call the police kind of a smack.
Mm.
I got spanked one time because it's so funny because looking back, my dad and I would cross the street on Northwest Highway where I grew up, pretty busy street, and we would like walk out. We wouldn't go to the crosswalks, right? So I would just walk with him across the street when there were no cars. But I was too young to understand that you cross when there's no cars. So I was about to run across the street. My dad grabbed me by the wrist, yanked me back, and spanked me.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand. I was like, it was just the most confusing way to teach me that lesson.
Yeah.
And now I know he did it because he was scared.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Right? That was the only reason he spanked me. So it's just one of those things where I see things happen in public that I don't always step in, but I really want to. Which leads me to a transition to Black Club Chicago.
Yeah.
Well, because the idea is telling the stories at the block level,
yes.
Right? What's going on from community to community, and I'm watching my own neighborhood sort of have these debates online about what it means to be a citizen of that neighborhood, of Jefferson Park,
mm-hmm.
and I'm curious as to the sort of response you're getting from folks from Block Chicago, where you guys are you're the reincarnation of DNA Chicago. You're getting down to the bare bones of what it means to be a Chicagoan by telling these stories. What kind of reaction are you getting from readers?
Usually positive, but always responsive.
Uh-huh.
uh-huh. people connect with these stories, whether it be in my neighborhood or any of the neighborhoods that we cover, or even the idea that people want more coverage in their neighborhood on a full-time basis. And hopefully we'll get there. Not hopefully, but eventually we will get there. And it's exciting every day.
Are they sending you like links to things? Like, oh, you got to do this story.
Yeah.
How do you make the choices?
Well, I usually contact the editors first to uh-huh. see what their perspective on things. And then I also think about the stories that impact my community on a daily basis, or kind of neat things that I see, like, oh, that stands out. Mm-hmm. So it's one of those constant back and forth of, is this something that I, Lee, likes, or something that the community can identify with immediately?
Well, I want to talk about, when we come back from this break, about the Gwendolyn Brooks School and the achievement that they've been really working towards, and the notoriety that they're finally getting. Because I was not familiar with the program there. I would see it kind of on lists and things like that, because you always hear about, whether it's Lang Tech or Whitney Young. Is Gwendolyn mm-hmm. Brooks a grade school or high school?
High school.
High school. So I want to talk about that when we come back, because we always say, what can we do in these communities? And it sounds like there's a lot of work being done already. We get a lot of why don't they just, and maybe they already are in some ways. More in a moment on 720 WGN. Huey Lewis in the news for Lee Edwards. He's a writer for Block Club Chicago. And I was thinking about this today. I wonder what following you guys are having right now. How are people being drawn to it? Because Block Club Chicago, but people are still kind of trying to understand that. Mm-hmm. So explain to folks where you guys came from and what the purpose is of this publication online.
Block Club Chicago, like you mentioned before the break, it was basically a nonprofit organization that has come together to install community news in the void left by DNA Info Chicago closing. DNA Info Chicago, DNA Info New York, I believe Gothamist as well, all shuttered because of one man's decision to go a different direction with his money. So.
Right. And the stories that you guys work on is it ranges, and there's so many feel good stories too.
Yes.
That people are always saying, why do we always have to talk about the negative stuff? And you guys do so much of that. I was telling Andrea about the Gwendolyn Brooks School. Mm-hmm. For folks who aren't familiar, Gwendolyn Brooks was our city's poet.
Yeah.
And and I remember when I was in high school, I was tasked with reaching out to her and asking her to come to the school, but we didn't have the internet then, and I never heard back from the letters that I said. Tell us a little bit about this school and the notoriety they've achieved.
Yes, indeed. So I believe it was a week ago, I want to say, Gwendolyn Brooks Preparatory Academy, hopefully I got the entire name correct. It's, uh-huh. it's a lot.
Yeah.
They were the recipients of a 2018 Blue Ribbon Award for Excellence,
uh-huh.
and that's a national award for high school, middle school, and elementary schools across the nation. I believe in Chicagoland, there was only two schools that were awarded this distinguished award.
Uh-huh.
I think only 24 in the state of Illinois, and it's a big deal. I went to a Blue Ribbon school in Beechwood, Ohio.
Fancy.
I know.
But it means a lot to, I think, a community that, especially with the Chicago public school system. We often talk yes. about the disadvantages, about all the schools that were closed in certain neighborhoods. What neighborhood is Gwendolyn Brooks in?
It is in Roseland, I believe.
Which is one of the communities that we often associate with mm-hmm. a lot of gang violence, with a lot of, with a lot of the news. when we see something, happen, someone's been shot, we're like, oh, I'll bet you that was over by Englewood or Roseland.
True, but in this instance, there's been a great investment by the local alderman, I believe it's 9th Ward Alderman Anthony Beale, mm-hmm. who's put millions of dollars through different times and places to make sure the school was up to par. I think most recently there is a blue football field there.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yes, indeed. I believe it's brand new, and I think there's more developments coming that way.
Isn't that where they have a lot of the community gardens, too,
yes.
which are just fantastic, because there's a section, we actually covered a story on this for Channel 9, I believe it was in Roseland,
mm-hmm.
and there's the community garden, and everybody not only gathers to have their little plot, where they're growing corn or whatever it might be that they're growing, zucchini or tomatoes or whatever, but they gather, they were having a baby shower. You know, aww. So it was kind of like it became like a community gathering spot, and they created a whole portion outside the fence for anybody to come up, and it's a take what you need. And mm-hmm. I said, I was joking. I said, well, how is that going? And she went, you would not believe how wonderful and honest it is. If you just say, just take what you need, and someone needs a tomato or two or three, that's it. And just the respect now within the community, it's like, hey, this is ours. It's kind of this ownership thing. So I think those community gardens are fascinating. They're wonderful.
Yes, they are. There's several stories that we've done about that. I believe one's coming up soon. I believe that's one of the things about community gardens, especially with the nature being involved and the outdoors and the weather. It gives people such a great feeling, especially when you know you're getting fresh produce from people that you can trust.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Yeah, I know there are a couple in my neighborhood. Do you know if there are any up north by you?
I think there are. I think there are.
We do better about finding out.
We do, yeah, because those are great.
Those are. It's a great way to also to
and
meet your neighbors.
Would love that, having a plot, you know, have their own little area to grow.
Well, yeah. I mean, do you could do a lot of cooking, Lee?
I do cooking, but gardening is like my Achilles heel. I hate pulling weeds, and my late grandfather, he had a garden. He had vegetables of all sorts, and mm-hmm. I was ready to eat it, but actually to do the work. And then now it's like a forest back there. It's like a safari in my backyard, but I mean, it's going to snow one day. So
right, take care of all of that.
Yes.
At the end of every time people bring me all the tomatoes from their gardens, I think, you know, that's it. Next year, I'm gonna have more fruit and vegetables. And then, of course, here we are again.
No, honestly, Patty, I did it this year for the very first time. I mm-hmm. did tomatoes and cucumbers. It was so cool. It was so fulfilling, mm-hmm. you know, just to pull little tomatoes and put them in my salad. Yeah, it was great.
I've been so bad. I'm jealous. And you have an herb garden too?
I'm going to have one next year, I think.
All right.
Yes. I'm going to do oregano, basil. I'll bring you.
We'll have to bring some for Lee because he's at the forest. Me and Lee are...
I got you taken care of.
Thank you.
Take care of us that way. And so the reason I want to talk about Gwendolyn Brooks is you know, that's a kind of school that I think shows the promise of mm-hmm. community, of, you know, as you mentioned, the support. It means both from the neighborhood, but also financial, because that's an element that isn't always directed towards Roseland or Gage or, you know, any of the Southside communities.
Yes, and definitely. Western. And also on the coast, you mentioned like the west side of Chicago. Mm-hmm. One of the things that help people feel great about the communities is to know that their community school is being invested in, the school that they graduated from,
right.
That's still there and prominent. I know for my parents, they went to Lynn Bloom Math and Science Academy, and it's a fantastic school still. And it's also like a museum. It's a gorgeous building.
I've never been there.
It's huge.
It is? Okay.
You cannot miss it.
Okay. Lynn Bloom Math and Science Academy?
Yes, indeed.
All right.
They're doing great things. I did a story about them, I want to say a month or so ago. They had a unique jazz performance there. All original music, original content, and it was just for one night only.
And again, it's getting behind the schools, the programs that I think is going to be part of our path forward. Because we talk a lot about, well, what are we going to do about all the violence and all about the gang problems? And you know, what are we going to do about the relationships with, you know, the neighborhoods that are feeling the most stress? And our police department, I know that you were part of the coverage for the Van Dyke trial. I don't know what your take was, but I have it now the several days. I think we're all kind of taking in the fact that there were no winners in this. Is it the feeling that you got?
Yes, indeed. From the community members and just what I saw during Friday's rally after the verdict was announced, was some people were happy, but it was tempered because still people calling for civilian police accountability councils. They're still calling for other cases to be solved in the same way, like Ronnie Mann Johnson or Rakia Boyd, who was shot by a Chicago police officer. And then there's also people, too, who feel that sometimes the police get a bad rap for a really tough job that we all value. So it's tough on all sides.
I agree. It really is, yeah.
You know what? I think, too, I'm really proud, and I think we were saying this, too, because Patty and I, you know, after the verdict, we had a full show just with reporters and guests mm-hmm. and just everybody chiming in. And I was just very proud of our city that, you know, we were preparing just with everything. I mean, any way we prepare, either for a marathon or NATO or whatever, we always take extra precautions. And the demonstrations, rather, were peaceful. Mm-hmm. They were orderly. and they were organized and they were staged in the areas that they said they were going to be in. The police managed the crowds well, mm-hmm. and there were yeah. no arrests. I mean, I'm very proud of our city, everybody who acted on behalf, you know, from all sides of how we reacted to this.
Definitely. I think one of the things that stood out, too, is there was some people and from different communities who felt that there was an issue in terms of how there was calls for people to leave work early Friday yeah. because they weren't sure what was going to happen. And the response I've always had was recently is, what did you expect to happen?
Well, and that's been a question, too. It did seem as though there was some fear-mongering.
Yes.
There were people sharing photos on Facebook saying, look what they're doing. They're telling each other to riot. They're posting these flyers and saying, you know, meet at this corner no matter what happens. And it was, I think there was a lot of, fear-mongering.
Definitely. And when you hear the word they, who are they referring to?
Right.
Also, is it the same energy and thought process when white supremacists post signs in different neighborhoods across the city? I know Black Club Chicago has been on that on several neighborhoods.
Are there neighborhoods where there are white supremacy posters?
Yes, there have been.
I did not know that.
I know there was one in Hyde Park. I believe some of our reporters have covered that in different neighborhoods throughout the city. But there isn't the same backlash or response of we have to stand as one Chicago against those issues.
Or getting out of work early or anything like that.
Indeed.
Oh, I was not aware.
Me neither.
I saw somebody post somebody. They were mad that Alex Jones was banned from Twitter. So that was an InfoWars. They were like, we want our InfoWars back. And I thought, oh, well, that's one way to get your message across is on a telephone pole. Personal playlist just for Lee Edwards. You said you want Huey Lewis in the news? Producer Ben Anderson will take care of you. We are hanging out with Lee Edwards. He's a writer with Black Club Chicago. And each reporter that works for Black Club Chicago covers certain parts of the city. How are you guys assigned the neighborhoods? Is it ones that you live in? Do you request them? How does that work?
I believe it's for, at least for me, I know it's the neighborhood I live in. I live in South Shore, so it's easier for me to get to Auburn Gresham, Inglewood, Chatham, and every surrounding like communities as well. So it's kind of easier that way.
Yeah, we've actually never had the writer on. We've had Kelly Bauer on, who we have to have on again. I want to get all the Mauricio. I want to get everybody in.
They're great.
It's all great writing, and mm-hmm. I want to focus on the reason I turn to you quite often is because, or the second time, but I've reached out to you is because I have told Andrea this. I don't know much about the South Side of Chicago, mm-hmm. so I feel like I learn more not just about, you know, what's going on with the schools, what's going on with the community, but also, you know, the retail aspect of it. I know that you also shared a story about one restaurant that's trying to get some crowdfunding as well.
Yes, indeed. I believe it's Bronzeville Cooking.
Uh-huh. Bronzeville Cooking.
And what they're trying to do is they're employing all Chicago to vote so they can have potentially $150,000 grant submitted so they can renovate the space, they can open new storefronts, and they can be a better community anchor right. where they are.
And that's the thing, is that it does take kind of drawing attention to something and going, look, this is what we want to do to make our neighborhood better.
Definitely. I believe that some neighborhoods are already good to go, and other neighborhoods just need a gentle push in the right direction. And with that help, of course, it creates jobs, it helps reduce crime, it also gives kids new ideas as what they want to be when they grow up, and also the opportunity to make a little money for college. Or if they decide college is not for them, straight into the workforce.
Lee, you're going to come with me. I said we're taking Patty on a tour of the South Side. We're going to hit Rainbow Cone. We were talking about when you stepped out, Patty, to grab some water. We were talking about Rainbow Cone, yes, and Don's Hot Dog, Traverso's Pizza. Mm-hmm. You know, we'll hit some of the South Side shops as well.
There's also Italian Fiesta on the South Shore.
Chicken and waffles. And that's in Brownsville, yeah, too.
Yes,
oh,
it is.
Oh, my God.
But you have to get there early because you will be.
Yes, you do. Oh, my gosh.
You will be in a line.
You have to. We went, last time I went there, I think we were there at 7:30, and we got one of the last tables. Oh, yeah. I'm telling you, Patty. And they make the waffles perfectly. They're not the real thick Belgian waffles, mm-hmm. which are good, but these are flatter.
Yes.
And they're, well, I shouldn't give it away. But
no, it's worth it. You have to talk it up because once you go, you know what to expect.
When did waffles and chicken become a Chicago thing? Because Southern.
This place is called Chicken and Waffles,
yes,
and now it's become more of a chain and whatnot, but they were the original even before, now it's kind of the big thing to have it on Sunday brunch.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been there a long time.
I believe so. I want to say it started off on the West Coast. Is that a West Coast thing? Chicken and waffles?
Might be, yeah.
I'm not sure.
There's some magic involved.
The origin, yeah.
Yes.
Some, a lot of happiness on that. Yeah. What are some of your favorite things to eat in the neighborhood? What kind of restaurants are you going to?
Usually pizza.
Usually pizza? What's your pizza place?
Italian Fiesta. I like pizza that's right in the neighborhood that's really quick to get to. So there's one, I believe, on 71st Street. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of you get it sliced there, and also it's easier to go there. I also really like Mickey's in the Hyde Park whenever they're open.
What? Yeah. They have weird hours?
They do.
Mickey's has weird. Okay.
A friend of mine, we go back and forth trying to find the right time to go, and it's always hit or miss. But when they're open, it's great. I also love Whole Food Lighthouse Grill.
Okay.
That's also in Hyde Park. So it's like in this on this maybe 2-block radius, there's all these food options, but you're not sure they're going to be open. But if they are, it's a treat.
There's a really nice restaurant called The Promontory.
Yes.
In Hyde Park. Is that Hyde Park as well?
Yes,
or
it is.
Or is that? Okay. Fantastic. And it's a very nice restaurant, but the prices mm-hmm. are so good. And you walk in and it's like the rotisserie chickens mm-hmm. and oh, it's fantastic. Valerie Jarrett was in town, I think it was last weekend, and she tweeted a picture and she said, back in Chicago, and she was at Harold's Chicken. And she said, I have to make a stop at Harold's Chicken every time I come down here.
That's great. See, the menu there is so robust, but I actually never tried anything. They have like gizzards, but
yeah. Oh, I love
but
gizzards.
Good.
A gizzard?
I used to work at Brown's Chicken. And
oh,
my,
really?
Yes. No, but and my favorite thing at the end, because we would always get whatever, because they would fry up a batch of, mm-hmm. of things to have ready on hand. So chicken livers and gizzards were my favorite things to take home. My dad and I would eat them with cocktail sauce. If I can eat it, anybody can. Yeah. Anybody can eat it. Although I'll eat anything once.
No.
It's true. No? Gizzards?
Lee's going, no.
See?
No.
Well,
I'm a picky eater, but like a gizzard, and it's like, who orders this?
As long as it's deep fried.
Well, no, but even when I told you about the Grecian Taverna and the sweetbreads, they have the livers and the hearts and all,
soup. But they make it with dill. I mean, it's very, very tasty.
You mean like an artichoke heart? Is that what you mean?
Yes.
No.
Like, yes, just say yes.
Kidneys.
Just go, yeah.
They have the kidney meat, the liver meat, the all that stuff. Yeah, the sweetbreads.
It's just like an artichoke heart, Lee.
When someone says sweetbread to me, I remember the first time I ordered it, I was like, oh, it's some good
It's a sweet Greek bread.
And that's internal organs. It's all the
totally.
Yeah.
No, I'm a little too square for that. But I do like Hawaiian bread. Does that count?
Oh, Hawaiian bread's
that's
really
so good.
Good.
Those Hawaiian rolls.
Oh, is it king?
Exactly.
Isn't it made by?
Yes, I can do that.
Yeah, those are very tasty.
I like Nigerian food. That's fantastic. Have you had? I can't think of the names, but like, have you had injera? That's Eritrean food. Have you had that?
I have not. I've had Ethiopian, which I love.
Okay,
all
so
on the
that's
on
good.
The flatbread, and you can kind of like with the lentils and the all
that's
the vegetables.
It.
Oh, it's so good.
That's good. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, Andre, here's my question for you, because yes. you're a transplant. Oh, you've moved to the Northwest Side.
Yes.
Have you found your places? Have you found any places that you like?
I totally have.
Okay, do you want?
I really
do you not want people to know.
I was. Oh, yeah. Oh no, no, absolutely. I love Cafe Touché.
Oh, which is it's good French food. Yes,
it is good French food. And my friend Paula, who works at Channel 9, said you have to go and have their burgers. And I thought, okay, and I love a good burger. I'm telling, and I don't like ketchup on my hamburger, but they put some sort of a sauce on here. It is kind of a ketchup based.
Uh-huh.
It is out of this world. It is one of the best burgers I've ever had. I love Moretti's.
I think Moretti's,
their pasta is
so
fantastic.
Fun. That's a fun restaurant.
Love Moretti's. There's a pub called the Carrah.
Yes, Irish pub.
Yes, great. They have good salads mm-hmm. and sandwiches. So I found a couple of niche places.
Zia's is good too. I've never
love
been
Zia's.
To Elliott's Steakhouse. She's talking about a 1-block.
I've been there.
Yes.
I know. I'm just hanging around out in that one spot.
No, because that's where everything is. Like I have to drive to Edison Park too to do that.
And the places that you recommended though, Iron Horse.
Yeah,
is that your place? That's really good. Too.
I love their fire oven pizzas.
Yeah.
So good.
So, yeah, more of your hood. I like those.
I'm learning a lot right now.
Yeah.
That's
well, I had to, too. Because I went from south side to north side, so
okay.
I had to learn a lot, too.
Hold on,
again.
Here, Black Club in Chicago is good, but I find it too much like DNA Info. There's too much emphasis on crime and violence. No. Let me tell you about the articles that Lee, I'm just scrolling down right now, right? Talks about the Van Dyke verdict. There's two pieces on that because they covered the follow-up. And then there's a piece about the Woodlands Heritage and Nature Saturday. There was going to be a West Fest. Almost right now, scrolling through, I'm addressing the 312, that there's too much crime. Here's talking about the candidates in the 20th Ward, as we mentioned, the Gwendolyn Brooks story. And when we come back, we'll talk about the pumpkin patches, haunted houses, and so much more going on the South Side. So I don't know what page you're going to, but go to the page where Lee Edwards is writing a bunch of stuff.
Maybe, they're all good pages.
Kelly Bowers writing about all this. Let her take care of the shootings.
She's great.
Everyone's great at Block Chicago. More after this on 720. What is it again? WGN? WGN. Andre, I love it when we talk about food. You were talking about the burgers at Cafe Touche. And someone texted in, take a drive to Long Grove, to the Long Grove Village Tavern. They have awesome burgers. People always have their recommendations. As soon as you say you like something, somebody has something they like too.
You know, I used to love Blackie's. Remember the Blackie Burger, which was down here? Oh my God. That was sort of Southside, right? There was a Southside thing too.
I know there's one in the South Loop. Is it still there?
There was. Is it still there? Then there was one right down here. We used to go when we were at the tower. Those were good burgers, but that was closed.
I never had a Blackie's. I feel like I lost out to see if they're still open somewhere.
Yeah, maybe it's South Loop.
Yeah. I like Hackney's out in the suburbs.
Hackney's is good,
but they closed up too, didn't they? Or did they close?
There's one in Payless that's still
They still
open.
Have that one?
Yeah.
That's a farther drive for me.
I know. We're going to take her down there.
Okay.
Much farther drive. By the way, I missed the All Station Pumpkin Patch. They went to Goose Island on Friday. Did you get a chance to go to that?
No, because it was Van Dyke Verdict. We were
right,
working.
Right, we were working that one. And I always take my sons to the Pumpkin Patch up in Park Ridge, actually. They affiliate with an organization that helps feed, I think it's on Native American reservations. So they support programs through this pumpkin patch. They use the money for that. And I love the, we always treat it like it's a big deal. It's just a patch of land in Park Ridge. Mm-hmm. And we take the kids there. And when I saw that you wrote a piece about the pumpkin patches and the haunted houses on the South Side, I wanted to find out what kind of community plans there are for the Halloween festivities.
Well, the Chicago Park District is hosting a series of different pumpkin patches, some haunted houses, game nights, and just safe alternatives to trick-or-treating. Even though I love trick-or-treating, I did that until I was a college student, basically.
Except for the night that your mom made you go to a... right? Except for when your mom made you go to a concert.
I know. Oddly enough, it was a really good concert. I was determined not to have a good time, but it was amazing.
I love that. So the Park District has... they used to do haunted trails, like in the Forest Preserve.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That was very fun at the Forest Preserve up by Devon and Nagel. But I think that the nice thing about having haunted houses, too, is it creates that sense of excitement for the kids. Mm-hmm. You know, something that's in the neighborhood. And also, the Park District can do a really good job of being connected with the kids, don't you think?
Yes, indeed. I think one of the things that really stands out about at least Chicago's Park District is the idea that all these opportunities are usually free or low cost. So no matter where you are in the city, you can have an opportunity to find something that works for you and is fun. And I also like the idea of a pumpkin patch because of making jack-o'-lanterns.
Right.
Yeah.
Because I used to make them as a kid, but I was never actually good at making a face or carving a face. But it was fun to try anyway.
I know. We would always just do triangles and the jagged teeth. But now there are people that really up their pumpkin game. You know, dipping them in glue and then covering them in glitter. Or painting them black and then putting white shapes on them. And then there are people that really sculpt them into these gorgeous pieces of art.
I love to carve pumpkins. And then you take the pumpkin seeds and you can roast them.
Yes.
Oh, really?
They're so good.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. You have to clean it all out. You put it in the strainer, like a pasta type strainer. Clean out all the orange stuff out.
But
the muck. Yeah, some people use it to bake with.
I call them pumpkin guts, but that's just guts. Me.
Yeah, you rinse it all off, put a bunch of salt on it, and then you bake the seeds in the oven for like 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's so good.
Wow, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I also have a tip for the for your holiday decorating. On November 1st, if you have pumpkins on your front porch, please make sure you turn them around, because now they're just autumn pumpkins instead of Halloween pumpkins.
Oh, there you go.
It's just very easy.
Multi-use.
I'm just saying. Just turn them around. It's no longer Halloween, but now you have your harvest pumpkin ready.
There you go.
Just very, and your scarecrow, just say, I do love how much people get into decorating. I have, again, just like gardening, Andrea.
Yeah.
I aspire to doing like kick-ass decorations, and here it is. I've got now 3 weeks left and I probably won't get it done.
Oh, I know. I haven't put much up yet either.
No.
I just bought candy. So
what do you buy for the kids? Because this is important. Like, who you are as a person.
I agree.
I think is defined by the kind of candy you hand out at Halloween.
I always get candy that I like. So in the event that the kids flake out, it's all for me. So
there's
Blow Pops. There are Snickers. There are Butterfingers. M&M's. Peanut M&M's. I think that's it.
You eat good stuff.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, I'm a chocolate girl too.
Me too. Yeah. I do the Kit Kat, the Reese's Peanut Butter Cup, and the Twix.
Yes,
those are the staples. Yes. Yeah,
solid.
And then the variety bag with the M&Ms, the Snickers. Mm-hmm. You know,
I also love the one of the things that's available usually at Halloween are the mini Milky Way dark.
Yes,
with dark chocolate.
Oh yeah,
those are solid.
That is so good.
Those are good.
Is nobody a Baby Ruth fan here?
I love Baby Ruth.
I like those
and Skittles too.
Skittles are good. Yeah. But I don't like dots.
I didn't know.
There's a whole stack of dots. I can't believe.
I never like dots either.
There's a whole countertop filled with dots in the newsroom. Did you see that? You
didn't? No.
Yeah, Roger ordered dots. So there are red vines, dots. There are, oh, there's wax lips. Oh. So you can have like vampire teeth.
Oh, those are cool.
And like the big lipstick lips. We should go in there and do a selfie before you go.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. I'll bring some out here. And but I like the Milky Ways. I do like the Baby Ruth. Although I wonder what Baby Ruth would taste like in dark chocolate.
I bet it would be good.
Wouldn't that be delicious? Yeah. And I like Butterfingers too, only I hate how much they get stuck in your teeth.
Yeah, that's the thing.
I like a Butterfinger.
Yeah.
Yes, Bren? Ben?
I'm debating this dark chocolate on a Baby Ruth.
Just close your eyes and imagine it.
Are you there?
I can't imagine. Well, they never tried it.
I think you broke my brain with that one.
The Baby Ruth. That is a good candy.
There's very little candy I don't like except the coconut. Like I don't like the right. Like gross. Almond joy in a mound.
Sometimes you feel like a nut.
But
sometimes
that's how your dark chocolate is.
Yes.
They cover them in dark chocolate.
Yep. No coconut.
I like both. No, because Almond Joy has dark chocolate, but the one without nuts does not.
The Mounds.
Almond Joy, the Mounds is what is.
Mounds.
Yeah, it's also dark chocolate on the Almond Joy. And no. I think milk chocolate on the Mounds.
Mm. Yeah, no. Lee and I are like,
ultimate
no, no coconut. Ultimate frown. Ultimate
frown. Mallow cups. Someone hands out mallow cups.
Aren't those marshmallows?
Yes.
Oh, I like
with
those.
Chocolate. Do you like, no?
Mm-mm. Judgment. Imagine getting a whole bag full of that and you just say, all right, kids, here you go. Will they smile or they frown?
Mallow cups? Yeah, they'd be disappointed.
Yeah.
It's like getting like an
now
apple.
Now that you put it that way.
I think it's a, like Griffin's.
It's like an apple.
Or how about here? Somebody said that there's one of my neighbors that hands out pencils, like Halloween themed pencils.
Really?
Who's going to use a pencil? Turn off your house like you do not want to participate this
Remember
year.
The neighbors who used to give out pennies or coins? Yes. I'm like, what are you going to do with a nickel?
Also
or a
known
penny.
As my dad.
My dad used to give out pennies.
The penny tossers are right up there with those who hand out raisins.
Agree.
Or condiment packages. One year we did find a packet of ketchup. Like that person was just like too embarrassed to say they had nothing. So you know what? Just don't answer your door. Don't
at
stand
that
there.
Point, no.
Don't stand there and pretend like you're handing out candy, and we find out later it's mustard or like Taco Bell sauce.
Gross.
What are your thoughts? What are the group's thoughts on candy corn?
I like candy corn.
Ooh, yeah.
I don't mind it. I don't mind it. I know it's kind of one of the cheesy candies, but I like it.
It's the one time of year. One time of the year you'll eat Knarboo, like car wax.
Yeah.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all right. It's just car wax.
But they recently started doing newer flavors with candy corn.
Have
you ever tried the caramel apple candy corn?
Yes, no. I have.
Really good.
Is it good?
Yes.
You guys both like it?
I'm going to raid our boss's office because Stephanie always has candy corn in there. Oh, well, unless someone eats it.
Yeah. I may or may not have had a M&M or two.
Tonight?
Maybe.
Oh, I'm going after the news.
The 312 corrects me. The Mounds have dark chocolate. Almond Joy is light chocolate. That's right. I knew it was one or the other. Mm-hmm. I like them both. I don't care. You guys are so funny with the coconut.
We're shaming you now. We're candy shaming you.
Whatever happened to Chunky? Remember that little square? That
I like a Chunky.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Nuts and raisins in that?
Yeah.
Oh, they had raisins?
It did have raisins.
See, I'm not a raisin fan.
No. Raisinets for you?
Raisins. I do like Raisinets.
Yeah. I love Raisinets.
I do like Raisinets.
Are great.
That's the only chocolate around. I'll eat it.
All right.
I like Whompers. Mm-hmm.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the malted candy.
Uh-huh. Yes, I like that.
I don't remember those.
Whoppers? Yeah, they
Oh, Whoppers. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Love Whoppers. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
No, the malted those. Milk, yeah.
My dad always stole mine.
What?
He was a fiend for Whoppers.
Wait, no, milk duds? Yeah. I like milk duds.
How about the mint? Oh, yeah. Milk duds are, yeah, I like those, but they're chewy with the caramel.
And they do stick to your teeth. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then now I just lost it. What's the mint?
Junior mints.
Yeah. Yes. I like those a lot too. Oh, now we're all hungry for candy.
I know. That's why I'm going to raid her office.
True.
As soon as you hit that spot.
Do we have a, I don't know if we have a spot. Oh, you know, here, go run to her office right now.
Okay.
All right, run. We're getting some candy. We've got to fill this up.